Thank you. Pad Paramaham Sathana Jagacharya Astuta Asata Shishimad Abhay Chana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Hare Krishna. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Nilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadhamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavano Sudhe Devi Pranamami Haripriye Pancha Kalpa Turupyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Akkapaiswa Bhaktaishu Nityam Bhagavata Saivaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtake Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatam Vyasam Vato Jayam Vajiraya. So, we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 15. Yesterday, Kimanjana Mahaprabhu Manjana Prabhu did text number 1, 2, and 3. Today we have 4, 5, and 6. Is that correct? Is number 6 on the board? Is that what it says? Asia, Patshat, and so. Is that correct? Okay. Well, I can't see it in this angle. So I read text number 5, when we'll chant number 6. Ayam tu pratamo rakyam kuman pratayita yasaha ritu nama mahaja maharajo kavishyati prati ritu savaha. Translation: of the two, the male will be able to expand his reputation throughout the world. His name will be Pritu. Indeed, he will be the first among kings. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are different types of incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Shastras, it is said that Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, and Ananta, are all very powerful incarnations of the Brahman feature of the Lord. Similarly, Sachipati, or Indra, the King of Heaven, is an incarnation of the lusty feature of the Lord. Aniruddha is an incarnation of the Lord's mind. Similarly, King Pritu is an incarnation of the ruling force of the Lord. Thus, the saintly persons and the great sages predicted the future activities of King Pritu, who was already explained as a partial incarnation of a plenary expansion of the Lord. Text number 5. Iyam cha sutapi devi guna bhushana bhushana achinama varadoha pritum eva varundati. Translation: the female has such beautiful teeth and beautiful qualities that she will actually beautify the ornaments she wears. Her name will be Archie. In the future, she will accept King Pritu as her husband. Now today's verse number 6. Esha sakshat tadher amso. Esha sakshat tharer amso jato loka virakshaya jato loka virakshaya iyam chatat parahi shrir iyam chatat parahi shrir Anujnajne napayini Anujnajne napayini Esha sakshatare ramso Jato loka virakshaya Iyam cha tatparahi shri Anujajne napayini Esha sakshatare ramso Jato loka vivikshaya Iyam cha tatparahi shri Anujajne napayini
Thank you.
directly. Hare. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Amsaha. Partial representative. Japaha. Born. Loka. The entire world. Hirakshaya. With a desire to protect. Iyam. This female. Cha. Also. Tatpara. Very much attached to him. He. Certainly. Shri. The goddess of fortune. Anujajne. Took birth. Anapayini. Inseparable. Translation. In the form of King Prithu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared through a part of his potency to protect the people of the world. The goddess of fortune is the constant companion of the Lord, and therefore she has incarnated partially as Archie to become King Prithu's queen. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that whenever one sees, can everybody hear, is it loud enough? In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that whenever one sees an extraordinary power, he should conclude that a specific partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present. There are innumerable such personalities, but not all of them are direct Vishnu Tattva plenary expansions of the Lord. Many living entities are classified among the Shakti Tattvas. Such incarnations, empowered for specific purposes, are known as Shaktivesha avatars. King Prithu was such a Shaktivesha avatar of the Lord. Similarly, Archie, King Prithu's wife, was a Shaktivesha avatar of the goddess of fortune. So now the reign of King Veda is over, and a glorious appearance of a Shaktivesha avatar of the Lord has come into being. Not only that, he's accompanied by his wife, and being an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the wife is also an expansion of the Goddess of Fortune, because as we were explained to you yesterday, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's not ordinary person. And his wife is not ordinary either. So we should not take the concept of the goddess of fortune lightly. The goddess of fortune is often referred to in the material world in a very mundane and insulting way. Especially in this age of Kali, where the four sinful activities are prominent. Gambling, illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication. Especially in the gambling world, they are very fond of the goddess of fortune. We're practically seeing that most of those people who gamble, they come out with no money. In California, I live not far from a great gambling place called Reno. If you drive past on the highway, the highway is elevated and the casinos are there on either side. You see in the parking lots there are some like caravan type things. There are cars there, but there's some few caravans there. These are the people who've driven there, they've sold everything, they've bedded the house, hoping to attract the goddess of fortune, and they got nothing. So now they're living in the van, in the parking lot, outside the casino. It's a very, quite a few of these people, many of them. So this is because they're foolish. They've not understood what this material life is for. They've not understood the great opportunity of the human form of life. It's an opportunity to get out of the cycle of birth and death. They have not had the fortune of meeting a devotee who would be so kind enough to give them some information about the real purpose of life. So we are all those fortunate people sitting here, and throughout International Society of Krishna Consciousness, throughout the world, there are many such devotees as ourselves sitting down to study Srila Prabhupada's books. So for us, Srila Prabhupada is unquestionably that great Shaktivesh Avatara who had a specific empowerment to spread this Krishna consciousness all over the world. It was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, Piti Viti Achiyatu Nagaratagram Sarvatra Pachar Hoibi Moranam. So Piti means the whole world. And at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it might have seemed impossible that such a prediction or an order would ever be able to be accomplished. That it was a local affair, or a regional affair, or a cultural affair, that it was not to be. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the mood of Radharani. And whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, whatever he predicts, it must come true. So it came to be that after some time, some years, there was a slackening in the Sankirtan movement started by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was revived by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, another great empowered devotee, and then again developed by his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he predicted that there will be a Senapati Bhakta who will spread this mission all over the world. That was Srila Prabhupada. So we sometimes may read Srimad Bhagavatam and think we see so many impossible, fantastic descriptions of the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Just like in the previous chapter, we had descriptions of Dhruva Maharaj, how he fasted, how he performed austerities, simply impossible for us. Then how he defeated the Yakshas with all kinds of the transcendental weapons at his disposal. How glorious. But it seems like phantasmagoria on a practical level for us as being residents of Kali Yuga. But to defeat our doubt, we have that personality, Srila Prabhupada, who is undoubtedly a Shaktivesh Avatar. He was empowered not only to translate, but to preach, to manage, and to train thousands upon thousands of disciples and spread this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. This is only possible by Shaktivesh Avatar. I once heard a description by one of my god brothers Padma Prasaka Maharaj, he was glorifying Prabhupada, and he was describing the rate at which Srila Prabhupada produced books. I cannot recall exactly the details, but the numbers are there. Srila Prabhupada himself said this. How is it possible for an ordinary man to do this? It takes normally, if someone to write a scholarly book, not just a novel or some trash, but a proper book of scholarship, it's going to take at least 2 years to complete one book, all of the initial writing, and then editing, and then production, selling, everything. Minimum 2 years, one book. Srila Prabhupada produced, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, so many volumes, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other major big books. He was producing 7 or 8 big books every single year. And that, I think that it's a world record. Nobody else has ever managed this. 7 or 8 big books for 10 years straight without a stop. And on top of that, he trained more than 5,000 disciples. He opened 108 centers. He traveled the world 14 times. So we simply cannot estimate the empowerment, the level of empowerment that Srila Prabhupada possessed to perform all of these acts. And undoubtedly, when this becomes recognized in the future, Srila Prabhupada will be greatly glorified all around the world by ordinary men. So I wanted to, if I could, to give some small readings from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to give some outline of Srila Prabhupada's qualification to do what he did. So if we go back to the beginning, right to the first canto, we'll see the great sage Shanaka Rishi, he stands up, and all of the rishis also stand up when Srila Prabhupada enters. Srila Goswami enters the sacrificial arena. And they recognize Srila Goswami as a qualified person. Srila Goswami is a disciple of Srila Vyasadeva. He was personally there at the time that Shukadeva Goswami narrated Srimad Bhagavatam to King Parikshit. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that if one is to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, he must be an authorized representative of Srila Goswami. So I seem to have lost that. Just give me a minute to try and find that. Okay, here, this is another one. Here is the remedy for eliminating all auspicious things within the heart which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavata, namely the book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata. Both the Bhagavatas are competent remedies, and both of them, or either of them, be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavata is as good as the book Bhagavata, because the devotee Bhagavata leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavata, and the book Bhagavata is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavatas. Bhagavata book and person are identical. So in the person of Srila Prabhupada, we have met that person Bhagavata.
not just someone who can recite Srimad Bhagavatam, but who can give us the whole presentation that was given by Shukadeva Goswami with elaborate purports and sufficient training for all of those who wanted to hear in order to train them to become pure devotees. The devotee Bhagavata is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavata, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavata. Human reason fails to understand how by serving the devotee Bhagavata or the book Bhagavata, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually these are facts explained by Srila Narada Dev, who happened to be a maidservant in his previous life. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavatas, the more one becomes fixed in transcendental loving service of the Lord. The message of the book Bhagavata, therefore, have to be received from the devotee Bhagavata, and the combination of these two Bhagavatas will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. So, there's another one. A couple of verses I'd like to read. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and perfect. This Bhagavata Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of the ignorance and the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Then there follows a long purport. Srila Prabhupada is very severe in this purport about the age of Kali, how blind people are, how the human race is a royal edition of the animals, of the dogs. It's very, very strong. So, Srila Prabhupada did not compromise anything. He was empowered to give us Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was empowered to spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, exactly as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had ordered. So therefore, we are those fortunate people who have seen and realized a Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord. That which is considered to be simply myth and theory has actually become reality in our life. So we should remember this every day as we practice our Krishna consciousness. We are all walking in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and in the footsteps of that great Shaktivesh avatar. There's a verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes there from Bhagavad Gita. Yad yad vat vibhutimat sattvam srimad ojitame bhava tat tat evavagat satyam tvam mam mama tejomsa sambhavam. Know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, any glorious or beautiful existence should be understood to be but a fragmental manifestation of Krishna's opulence, whether it be in the spiritual world or in the material world. Anything extraordinarily opulent should be considered to represent Krishna's opulence. So this Krishna consciousness movement is is very much part of Krishna's opulence. We should take care of it very, very carefully. And it is a great treasure. If possible, Prabhupada said we should try to expand it, but at least we should not diminish it. So that is the burden that has been placed upon all of our shoulders, that we preserve what Prabhupada has given us, and if possible, try to expand it. Srila Prabhupada, as everybody knows, he was noticed by his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and who said of Srila Prabhupada, whatever he writes, you print it. So Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a lot, well before he came to the Western world and started his movement, ISKCON. And one of those small books which he wrote, I think some of you know the story, he wrote this book, Light of the Bhagavata. It was supposed to be for a symposium, a presentation for a symposium in Japan. But that symposium, somehow or other, Prabhupada never went there, but the book was written. But it was never printed. So after Srila Prabhupada's departure, it finally became printed. This book, The Light of the Bhagavata, is a very wonderful book. It is apparently not so philosophical. It doesn't quote Shastra or anything like that. But it's a wonderful commentary. You could say it's a summary commentary on Vedic culture, the Vanashram system, and so on. I'd just like to quote a couple of things which I found very interesting and just stuck in my mind. The Light of the Bhagavata itself is an expansion of one of the chapters that Prabhupada wrote in the Krishna book, Autumn Season. I'm not sure of the name of the title of that chapter. That after the rainy season, the autumn comes. So the description of autumn is there in the Krishna book. So the expansion of that description is the Light of the Bhagavata. And Srila Prabhupada describes, he made something very difficult for me to understand, he made it very easy. I'd just like to share it with you. And that is, sometimes we have a misunderstanding about Nitya Siddha, Sadhana Siddha, are they the same, are they equal, are they different, and so on. In the Light of the Bhagavata, Prabhupada gives a very nice picture. He explains that after the rainy season over, then the blue skies come. But a portion of that sky, that blue sky, has always been blue. It has never been covered by clouds. And that is considered like the Nitya Siddhas. And another portion of that sky, which was covered by clouds, has now also become clear of clouds, and it is also blue, just like the other portion. Those are like the Sadhana Siddhas. They were covered by clouds, but now they have become perfect. And they are equally like the Nitya Siddhas. If somebody were to criticize the blue sky and say, well, that portion was always blue, and now this portion has become blue, I find a difference between this blue and that blue, then he's simply foolish. The blue sky, which was covered by clouds and now has become blue, is the same as that part of the sky which is always blue. Very nice. The Prabhupada writes in this way, very poetic, very, you know, full of imagery and creativity. And there's another thing that Prabhupada says to illustrate the Vanashram system very nicely. He said that Vanashram system was actually a divine process by which human society, everybody in human society, could be engaged in Krishna service. It is the default system of social organization arranged by Krishna. However, due to the influence of the age of Kali, certain aspects of the Varnashram system have deteriorated. And he identifies what it is. He says it is devotion to Vishnu. When devotion to Vishnu is absent from the Varnashram system, then it becomes an empty caste system. It is useless. So, Srila Prabhupada very quickly explains that. There's one more nice picture I'd like to share with you from the light of the Bhagavata. And that is also after the rainy season, there are very nice little white puffy clouds moving along through the sky. These white clouds against the blue sky, they look very beautiful. In the same way, the renunciates who have become free from all of their family entanglements, they also look very beautiful. They're just wandering here and there throughout the world, enlightening people about the science of Krishna consciousness. So I thought this is very beautiful. I just couldn't help laughing when I read it. I imagine that some of our sannyasis and renunciates in ISKCON are just like white clouds in the blue sky, just looking very beautiful and wandering here and there throughout the world and enlightening people. So this is Srila Prabhupada's greatness. He could write this kind of book for the common people in an artistic setting who would not understand philosophy. Same time, he could be the author of the translations and the purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam that we read today. So Srila Prabhupada's greatness is now being spread all over the world. Let us be perfect representatives of Srila Prabhupada. Let us follow all of his instructions perfectly. Let us chant 16 good rounds every day. Let us follow the four regulative principles impeccably. And let us distribute his books to every town and village, to every soul, and glorify Prabhupada properly. This is the only proper response that we can have if we truly claim to be followers of Srila Prabhupada. We should engage like this. So I think I'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any question. So I don't see any questions. So, Bhattaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.